Sunday, February 4th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, an concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. While everyone is still wreathing over the implications of the FISA memo, and if true, are indeed damning, but only if people are actually held accountable, and the vast majority of the nation is consumed by the wholly orchestrated and entirely politicized National Football League Super Bowl extravaganza, much is no doubt being carried out in the provided shade of the sporting event's all-encompassing coverage and its corresponding hyper-nationalized and political predictive programming. But take note of the fact that important events and incidents rarely seem to happen during these particular days. Why? Because no one's paying attention. So they save their PSYOP announcements and false flag statements and events for the days that follow, when everyone is well propagandized with a healthy dose of American superiority. So for those of you still paying attention, let's see what everyone else is missing. First story coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, state now assumes all homeschoolers are child abusers, reveals plans for involuntary home visits. Lawmakers in the state of California are now pushing for families who homeschool their children to be subject to involuntary home visits from state employees, treating those parents with the same oversight and involvement that they would give parents who have abused their children. The push for increased government involvement is being justified by the case of David and Louise Turpin, a California couple facing 12 counts of torture after police learned that their 13 children were severely malnourished, forced to stay chained to their beds, and living in horrific conditions, among other forms of torture that have been ongoing for several years. Instead of focusing on the tragic nature of the case, some Californians have insisted that the Turpin's parents were only allowed to get away with such inhumane actions because they were registered homeschoolers. And they are also arguing that the Turpin family is not the only homeschooled family whose children are being tortured. Instead of considering the fact that the majority of parents who choose to homeschool their children do so because they have no faith in the public school system, the editorial board of the Sacramento Bee argued that in the same way that parents choose not to vaccinate their children, the homeschooling movement grew as an offshoot of counterculture, religious, and libertarian interests. Nathan from Lift the Veil did a great video about the Turpin case right after it happened and how it was being used to do exactly this, and clearly he was spot on. I think it's very revealing and interesting how they connect this to the vaccine idea, and we talked about that even just yesterday. The reality behind that is that there is a lot of negative response and negative things that happen due to vaccinating your children in the way that they see fit. We talked about the vaccine court and how there are billions of dollars paid out for actual vaccine injury, yet they claim that they almost claim that doesn't even happen, even though it's on record. So this is just very interesting and revealing, and really this comes down to the bottom line for me, that this is a wildly unconstitutional. We have every right to educate our children how we see fit, and it just comes down to violating our constitutional rights once again. I mean, really, how much are American people going to allow under the guise of security and safety? This is something we've touched on quite a bit, but it seems increasingly encroaching, this idea that they find one more way that we're not taking care of ourselves and our children properly, so they have to step in and do it for us. It raises the idea of wellness checks, which we've discussed quite a bit in the past, about the idea that the police officers, based simply on someone else's statement, can arrive at your house, knock on the door, and force their way into your home simply based on the concern of somebody else without a warrant, based on the idea that they're there for your protection, and how that's already been used to violate rights in so many different ways. And court cases that have shown that they violated the use of wellness checks to get in and do something completely different. I mean, this is just a crazy story. Look, I can acknowledge the idea that there are some bad people out there and that certain people need to be removed from the situation, but this is getting wildly out of control. We've talked about the idea of child protective services and the idea of medical kidnapping, which is happening quite a bit in regard to homeschooling and vaccines, where simply because you're choosing to go against the government narrative, they'll come in and take your children away because they're not being taken care of properly. I mean, this is a very dangerous line to be crossing, and it's something we all need to be paying attention to. The next story coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, which perfectly aligns with the previous story, study shows kids are born creative geniuses, but the education system destroys imagination. You don't say. There was a study commissioned by NASA to help the space agency identify and develop creative talent. They discovered if given a problem with which they had to come up with an imaginative and innovative solution, 98% of 5-year-olds tested at the genius level. And upon entry into the school system, those numbers started to drop dramatically. When they returned to test those same subjects at age 10, the percentage of genius level imaginative and innovative thinkers fell to an unthinkable 30%. The indicators led the researchers to believe the current educational system is to blame. Now, it is important to note that this is a jump in logic here. I mean, they're assuming that the educational system is to blame. I mean, clearly there could be other factors at play here that has to be admitted. But we've done a lot of coverage on this idea and showing that this is something that is the idea of social programming. And the idea of standardized testing and the many different levels of our schooling system, which essentially funnel everyone into the same way of thinking, which is wildly suppressive when you think of all the different people that in history have sprouted off in their own ways of thinking, and that has caused innovation in our society. The study went on to show that this continued to get worse as they went through the system. That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, there's so much research showing exactly this. We talk about Common Core, which is an interesting aspect to this, which I think a lot of people are already veering away from, but this was clearly an attempt to further do that, to further stifle the creative way of thinking and funnel people into a very specific way. I mean, what we can see from our schooling system, really the public school system, is that it is producing a very organized, like-minded way of thinking individual that comes out with a very specific way of viewing the world. And still, we can even acknowledge the fact that they are still openly forcing verifiably disproved ideas. You could talk about the historical ideas of things like Paul Revere or the discovery of America or all these different things that we know now are actually factually incorrect, yet they continue to push it because it paints a very specific picture of our own history, which continues to push them in a very specific direction. So this is just frustrating to see, and it's something that I think it goes right back to the original story of homeschooling, where clearly they do not want children to be taught in a very creative, innovative way, because they eventually grow up and question the system with which they're in, and that's something they don't want to happen. So they're attacking homeschooling, using any case they can to make it seem like all parents are crazy, so they have to go through the government, and yet now we can see that very school system that they're forcing children back into are causing them to lose their innovative and creative thinking. Doesn't surprise me at all. Moving on to the next story coming out of globalresearch.ca, Trump's hypocritical concern to heroin addiction sustained by U.S.-led war on Afghanistan. In his State of the Union address, President Trump expresses concern regarding both the opioid crisis as well as the dramatic increase in heroin addiction in America without analyzing the underlying causes. Trump said, "In 2016, we lost 64,000 Americans to drug overdoses, 174 deaths per day, 7 per hour," which is true. "We must get tougher on drug dealers and pushers if we're going to succeed in stopping the scourge." Clearly not addressing the real case there. Drug dealers get their drug from somewhere. "My administration is committed to fighting the drug epidemic and helping get treatment for those in need. The struggle will be long and difficult, but as Americans always do, we will prevail." Trump brings to the forefront the story of Ryan and Rebecca Holitz of New Mexico, wherein they essentially adopted a child of an addict that Ryan came across while on duty as a police officer. Trump says, "Ryan and Rebecca, you embody the goodness of our nation. Thank you and congratulations." It's a beautiful narrative. The nation weeps. Ryan is interviewed on CNN. While he and his family express compassion, taking a courageous stance against heroin addiction, Trump confirms his resolve by, guess what, sending more troops to Afghanistan. What the media reports fail to mention is that the surge in heroin addiction was spearheaded by the U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan in October 2001. Why? Because Afghanistan under U.S. military occupation happens to produce approximately 90% of the world's illegal supply of opium, which is used to produce heroin, which rose from almost nothing immediately following the U.S. invasion. Barely acknowledged by the mainstream media is that in 2000-2001, the Taliban government, with the support of the United Nations, implemented a successful ban on poppy cultivation. Immediately following the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan by U.S. NATO troops, the production of opium regained its historical levels by a more than ninefold increase in 2002. Since 2001, according to the UNODC, the production of opium has increased 49-fold. Now, we have to also understand that the United States uses 80% of the world's opiates. So really take those two numbers into account, and there's no way to ignore that association. So we're clearly seeing that 90% of the opium comes from Afghanistan, which rose from almost nothing after the U.S. invaded. And now we're using 80% of the opiates in this country that come from opium. Clearly, there's something going on there. Yet we continue to feign this idea that we're fighting this opiate crisis, when in reality, it's coming from our own actions, or rather the actions of those who lead this country. I mean, it's very frustrating to see this continue to be, you know, centered back around drug dealers. MS-13 comes up all the time in his discussions, clearly because that can get swept back into the idea of immigration. I mean, this is a much larger issue at play here that continues to get muddled between a bunch of different political rhetoric used to support other ideas. What we're seeing here is the U.S. drug trade in action. And the people behind that are clearly people like the elite institutions, the deep state, and the banksters, for that matter. And that's why it's never going to change unless we do something about it. But this has nothing to do with the small drug dealers on the streets. This has specifically to do with where it comes from. And I think we just showed that pretty damn clearly. Next story coming out of globalresearch.ca. When is there going to be accountability for U.S. wars and aggression? The article begins by addressing the recent baseless accusations of chemical weapons we discussed yesterday by both Mattis and Tillerson. It reads, based on a review of facts from recent history, it is very likely the recent chemical accusations are false and are being broadcast to deceive the public in preparation for new military aggression. Anyone who thinks that politicians don't consider timing and marketing needs to only recall the statement of a George W. Bush official that, from a marketing point of view, you don't introduce new products in August. The quote, product was the PR campaign to get the American public to accept the invasion of Iraq. The article lists in detail the most well-known yet disregarded wars of aggression and the litany of crimes committed within and the glaring lack of accountability that followed. I mean, it discusses Vietnam, Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, Syria in detail. As always, I recommend you read these articles yourself because I'm just skimming over the details here. This article does an amazing job of breaking down the real verifiable crimes that take place at the behest of people in power, and no one is ever held accountable. Something that we've continued to address over the last few days. So when is there going to be some accountability for the U.S. military-industrial complex and their political and media enablers and promoters? Most of the American public is too busy, distracted, or overwhelmed with problems to investigate U.S. government claims. Mainstream media, including some alternative media, are failing badly. They are supposed to be holding government to account, critically questioning the assertions made, investigating the facts, exposing contradictions and falsehoods. Along with the politicians and government, they have some responsibility for the ongoing wars and aggression themselves. We all should be accountable. When is that going to happen? Oh, and by the way, day two, still no accountability for the accusations made in the memo. This lack of accountability has been somewhat of a running theme over the last week, but as the last article documented, it is far from something new, but as the memo frenzy is currently underway, it is an excellent way to accentuate that point, and you better believe that we're going to keep count. For more information on the information discussed today, check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below, and as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.